I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for the RSM Classic and other golf-related things because lots of golf news coming out this week. And joining me to break it all down, it's him. It's Kyle Porter, KP. Welcome to the show.
Freaking first cut there. Mr. Freaking First Cut had his baby this week.
Sammy Spieth,
yeah,
has arrived.
Congrats. Good for him. Baby season. It's great. Dude. We've got like a million things to talk about, and I lead with Jordan Spieth. That's very, 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 very on brand.
It shows that even though we are at the end of the PGA Tour fall portion of this schedule, you, sir, are in mid-season form. You are ready to just keep rocking and rolling, shoehorning Jordo into as many conversations as possible.
Well, listen, he's going to be playing in the next PGA Tour event that we see, Tournament of Champions. He's a champion again. He's going to be there with Taylor Gooch, with Colin Morikawa.
I know that he is. I know it's not an official PGA Tour event, but is he playing Tiger's event? Is he playing the Hero
World? Yeah, he is. He's also in that with it really is. It's super interesting because it's like Bryson's in it. Rory's in it, Morikawa, Spieth, Koepka. I don't know. I can't do all 18. I think Hovland's in it. DJ maybe. So yeah, that'll be good.
Yep. Finau, Rory. Did you say Rory? Reed.
I said Xander, Rory. Yeah.
Scotty.
Oh, Reed. Patty Reed. This is going back
to the scene of the crime.
Yeah. Wow.
Justin Thomas. Did you say JT?
I did not say JT.
And the defending champion, who's the defending champ? This is Stenson? Really tough. Yeah, Henrik Stenson's in the field. Henrik Stenson won it in 19.
I'm ready for, you can make a Hero World Challenge category, Jeopardy category for me and Greg. I'll smoke him.
So far, so good. I think you will.
Great trophy, by the way.
Hero World Challenge.
I know you're big on trophies.
Excellent trophy. Excellent. I'm gonna rank the trophies in the offseason.
I don't think we talked about the Mayakoba trophy.
So did you see they upgraded it?
Oh, so I saw.
Last year was just the white chameleon. Whatever. You lean into it, it's fine. This year, the full-on painted version of it, chef's kiss. Beautiful. Beautiful. Great improvement. See, I like a tournament that does not get just stuck in the mud on the same tournament, on the same trophy year after year.
Yeah. It's true. It was great. I loved it as well. I thought it was awesome. Animal trophies are great.
Always great. We've got a lot to talk about.
We do.
And we have a lot more to talk about after this week. And we are reaching out to you, the listeners or the viewers, for help. So we are going to do a mailbag episode. Jacob says on Monday. So we're recording this on Sunday. That doesn't seem like enough of a turnaround time. I wonder if that's true. Anyway, we're going to do a mailbag episode. So you can drop your questions in the form of a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That helps us. It helps you. Thank you very much. I'm sure you can also tweet them at us. I'm sure you could probably also DM Jacob. I'm sure he'd love that. I mean, there's probably lots of ways to get a hold of us, and it can be anything golf related, grocery store related.
Oh gosh.
Whatever you want. We'll cover it. We've got nothing else to do, right?
Well, bring producer Jacob in to confirm that because you said it might not be true that we're doing it Monday.
So my concern, Jacob, was that if we're doing it via a podcast review, it takes like 48 hours for those to appear, and we won't be able to read them in time.
Not always.
Oh, okay.
We have a new way we can look at them on sort of the back end.
Sure. Oh, look at producer Jacob hacking the system.
You know, we'll also put a tweet out there, but you know, hey, if you wanna be cool and you love the freaking First Cut, golly, you can just leave a 5-star review regardless. That's also always possible.
Yeah.
And while you're at it, go to the Early Edge, leave a 5-star review there too.
There you go. Crossover appeal.
Everything. If you wanna trash talk coach and you've already left a 5-star review on the First Cut, you actually can go to the Early Edge and leave them another 5-star review with trash talking coach in there. I encourage that.
That's fair. You get to say your piece to coach, but you also give the 5-star review in return. I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that.
Win-win. Win-win-win.
Thanks, Jacob. Win-win-win-win-win. We will tweet out a prompt as well, so make sure you are following us. I think it's at First Cut Pod. Now I got to confirm this. Jeez, oh man. You think of it. Yes, First Cut Pod on Twitter. All right, KP. A 3-second video clip and 2 words sent the golfing world into a frenzy on this fall Sunday because, oh, just listen. Hold on. Listen. That right there is a flushed shot, a full swing by one Tiger Woods appearing on the driving range with his new launch monitor and quoting, I don't want to say quoting, the caption says, quote, making progress.
How many takes do you think that took?
That's a good question. So I would normally say one. However, do you think Tiger, you know, gave it the second look, make sure this is a good swing. This is the first swing people are going to see in 9 months since I've had my horrific car accident. Let's make sure this is a pure one and not one that I towed a little bit. You think he was involved in the send?
Well, there? I was actually thinking more sound than it looked. Mm. That sound was, he was hitting I don't know. Is my video going in and out for you? Can you hear me?
It was a little bit in and out there, but it's seems to be stabilizing a little bit.
Oh, sorry about that. Anyway, the noise there was unbelievable. He wasn't even swinging that hard. I can't believe I'm breaking down the wavelength of a Tiger wedge on a podcast on November 21st. This is preposterous, but it's also, it's crazy that he's swinging, right?
So 9 months removed, I don't have it all in front of me, but the surgeries were extensive off of that February car accident and still wearing the sleeve on his right leg, which I admittedly have no idea what that is for, but presumably part of his recovery because we've seen it every time he's been out in public since the crash. But there were rumblings, KP, and I'm sure you were privy to these, that he had been kind of cleared for little bits of activity. I assume that was putting and chipping. I was not necessarily expecting to see a full swing on November 21st.
I agree. And, you know, there's so many different ways that we could approach this. There's so many different angles to it. It's like the conversation that we had about, what did we talk about last week? Like the global tour stuff and how the PGA Tour should work in the future. You could approach that from any number of angles. I think for me, it is, I don't know, man. Like, I just haven't really cared that much about any kind of comeback that he made, because I think the most fun and compelling part of the last this kind of latter stage of his career has been his personal growth, like just as a human, you know. And he's been as open as he will ever be about that. And that's been cool to watch. Like that sounds silly maybe, but just this sort of, it's almost like I think Tiger, it was really hard for him to mature and grow up at a young age, because he was just like, it was Tiger. It was like, he was so different than like every other human that he was around. And it would be such a tough environment to grow up in. And so it's almost like he's gotten to the other side of that a little bit, and he's seemingly maturing as a person. And I think that's really fun and interesting to watch. And I just haven't cared that much about the golf side of it. But you know, I know a lot of people do.
Now that we see it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people do. And I think it is compelling. I also think that I want to continue to see the personal side of him. And so if playing in tournaments is the means by which to see that, I think that's cool. But I also think, man, you're just stacking. I mean, you know, as I was watching that video, I was like, oh yeah, what about the back?
That was the surgery, right? He had in December. He had a back surgery in December. I think it was car accident in February.
I think it was January.
Was it? January. Was that close
to
it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I just feel like it's just easy to forget about all the stuff, you know, and I go back to after he won the 2019 Masters, you know, there were different articles about like, hey, this back surgery that he had, it might be a good short-term fix, but in the long term, it ain't good. And so how does that affect, you know, how all of this is going to go? So I don't know. There's so much to it. I think he'll talk at Hero, right? Like he'll probably talk there, which I think will be, I think that'll be really interesting.
Yes. That is likely the next time he goes on the record with anything. I agree with you. I'm at peace with like, if Tiger never plays another event, good for him. Like, be healthy, be a dad. It's all good. Like, I don't need you to come back and get 83 or even try for it. But if this is what he sees his future in and competing again, and listen, we're one swing on a range compared to competing at the highest levels of golf. But I know that was the immediate reaction for the vast majority of people who saw that on Twitter was, oh, Augusta's 5 months away, which is the initial reaction.
And how could it not be? I wrote that sentence in part of an article that I did for CBSSports.com. Was Augusta's 137 or 147 days away, whatever it is. You know, I was reading an article about Roger Federer. He had his third knee surgery in September or something like that. He's going to miss Australian Open. He said he's probably going to miss Wimbledon next year, which is kind of crazy to already be like projecting.
Right.
But the quote that he had in the article, I think it was on, I don't know, New York Times or ESPN.com or something. And he said, I'm okay if I never like play in another Grand Slam final or win another major or whatever. But I would like to kind of go out on my terms on the course. Or on the tennis court, like even if that means the third round at the French Open or the second round at the US Open or whatever. And I think that's a pretty cool idea for Tiger also, right?
I agree. Completely agree. Do you think golfers get to go out on their own terms? Because this is a sport that, especially with the accolades that Tiger has, he could, in theory, play the Masters forever or until he tells us this is going to be his last one. So I feel like with other athletes, whether it's at the end of a contract, whether it is kind of maybe they've told you this is their last year and they get knocked out of their final tournament, there's this moment that everyone there seems to know this is the end. Do you think golfers get that same luxury?
Well, Phil has, right? Winning Kiowa.
That's the moment.
Well, and I think like how that's why it's almost like after the 2019 Masters, it would have been just so sick if Tiger retired.
I know.
Right. Oh, it'd have been the coolest. And I think that, you know, how's the Phil thing going to go over the next 10 years? You know, how does somebody like, I mean, think about Jack Nicklaus competing at the Masters until he was 58. He finished what, T6 when he was 58 at Augusta. And so I think that with guys like Tiger and Phil, especially at places like Augusta and an open championship, you're just competing so much with your mind. You're competing so much mentally that it's very different than it like a PGA at Bethpage where you can't contend with Brooks and DJ and Rory and those guys. So I don't know. I think that's a really interesting question. I don't think that Tiger's going to be like, you know, Ian Woosnam out there and shooting, you know, no offense to Woozy, shooting in the 80s at Augusta National.
No, he won't. But I also feel like he's not going to be the guy that's like, this is my last 6 months or something like that, right? You know, in other sports, you get the victory lap, you get the lifetime achievement award everywhere you go. I feel like Tiger's also not the guy, because he plays everything so close to the vest, to like give us an idea of when it might be over.
Yeah, and there was another quote from Federer in there about, like, I just want to prove to myself that I can one final time compete at the highest level. And for those guys, that's what a lot of it is about, right? Like proving to yourself, as you've done for the last 20 years, like, do I have what it takes? Do I have anything in the tank to be able to do that? And I don't know. I mean, it is going to be, I mean, JT talked about this on the No Laying Up podcast a couple of weeks ago of like, he's like, it's not like Tiger's going to be playing, you know, shooting 77s and then go to Augusta. He's going to want to be competitive, but also, I think you want to play Augusta for a final time, right? You don't want the car wreck to be like the exclamation point on your career either. Yeah. So I have to think that he's going to get to some sort of place where he's able to compete as much as he would like to be able to play those tournaments.
Yeah. Makes sense. Obviously 2 weeks away from Hero World Challenge, not next week, or I guess depending on when you're listening to it, not week of Thanksgiving, week after that is Hero World Challenge, and seemingly Tiger as the host will speak, and we might get some more information. So we will obviously keep you updated on.
Do you think?
Yes.
Do you think he'll play the Masters in April? I mean, that's the question, right? Like, that's the.
I'm at the point where I will say no, and I will be thrilled to be proven wrong. Like, if you're counting out Tiger Woods at this point, that's on you, right? He has made a living of proving everyone wrong. I should not do a swing change or multiple swing changes while I'm in my peak. The surgeries, the injuries, coming back, finding a way to get it done. I'm not going to say I think it's a long way from hitting shots on the range and tweeting out making progress to playing at the Masters, especially when you're right, he's not going to go there if he doesn't feel he's ready. So I will just protect my heart and say no. And if he shows up there the first full week of April, I'll be thrilled.
I think he will. I think he'll play.
I hope
you will. It's such a, I mean, I'm making predictions about, you know, five months from now about somebody who I've seen one swing of over the last year.
So the real, like, you know, we could dive into the conspiracy theories. Like, what if this swing was from 4 months ago and now he's way further along than he's even showing here? And he just shows up in Augusta, like, rocking and rolling.
Yeah. I mean, who can say? Who knows?
Who can say? Who can say? He didn't hold up a newspaper in front of the swing. I don't know.
No, he didn't. It's preposterous to project this much, but it looked good. And I think that it's not like he put a video out of him hitting like little pitch shots, right? Little like 10 yard, like, no, it wasn't a driver, but you've also got 5 months. And if you have that foundation of stability right now, then I have to imagine that he can build up to something over the next 5 months that would get him in the kind of the ballpark of being able to play Augusta.
And if he's hitting full wedges, he's been chipping and putting, right? So yeah. So it's now just kind of making the progress. So we'll see, obviously.
Yeah.
Can't wait to talk more about Tiger. But we got to go over to the other side of the pond. We've got to go to Europe, where Colin Morikawa does it again, adds more hardware to the trophy case, wins the race to Dubai, and in turn, KP becomes the first American to ever accomplish the feat.
Yeah, I was up early this morning. I watched the end. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched the end. And he is he's ridiculous. I mean, he you know, I think it's interesting. We can go through this. I tweeted out all the stuff he's done in his first 60 events on as a pro. But so that's mostly PGA Tour, but I think the craziest part about him, I mean, he was like lights out with the putter late, and it kind of made me think about, remember his quote at the Open Championship where he's like, I know I'm not a great putter, but also when the chips are down, I'm a freaking great putter.
I think he said it again. I think he said it again today. I think he said, I think he said something very, very similar to that. Like, I know on paper, I'm not a great putter, but, he said, in these moments, I feel like I can't miss, or something like that. I'll see if I can find the quote. He's absolutely.
Yeah, right. Which for sure. And I think that actually makes some sense a little bit. I don't love going too far down the road of, oh, well, just, you know, champions, they just win. And you're like, I don't know. Sometimes, a lot of times they don't, you know, but I think it makes sense because so much, and we don't give enough credit to this, I don't think, so much of golf is so mental, and the best players are the best mental players also. And so when pressure gets ratcheted up, it makes sense that somebody like him would thrive, because that's what, you know, that's why he's one of the best players. I don't know if I'm explaining that very well, but all that to say, like, so he's won five stroke play events that were not, like, he won the Barracuda, which is Stableford. In his other five, his final round scoring average is 66.2. So he had a 66. Well, let me see if I can do this off the top of my head. 66 at the work day when he beat JT. 66 at the PGA. 69 at concession. 66 at the Open. And no, excuse me, 64 at the PGA. 69 at the work day. 66 at the Open. And then 66 today in Dubai. 66.2 final round scoring average when he wins. That's sick. That's so good. And two of those were majors. Can you pull up the tweet where I listed all of the stuff that he's done over the first 60?
Yeah, here we go. Morikawa's first 60 events as a professional, two major championship wins, six wins overall, four second place finishes. I like that. 24 top tens, five missed cuts, five out of 60, $18.5 million in the bank account. First to win two majors in eight starts since Juan Bobby Jones, first American to win the race to Dubai, and also a 3-0-1 record at the Ryder Cup. That is a full resume through 60 events.
It's a Hall of Fame career, right? It's I don't know, Retief Goosen's career. Ooh. In 30 months. Retief, yeah, was the comp that I pulled for, like, just this career earlier in the week. I think it matches up pretty decently. I don't know. You can look at Retief's Wikipedia page or whatever. I think the sickest stat out of all those is six wins and five missed cuts in 60 events.
Yeah.
Because,
well, remember,
because
he had the streak right out of the gate, like 23 or 24 in a row.
Yeah, and he's kind of a volatile player. Like, he did this after the PGA last year. He fell off a bunch. He did it after the Olympics this year. He got a little injured, fell off a bunch. And yet, like, despite the volatility, he doesn't miss cuts. His ceiling is high, really high, really, really high. Maybe him and Rahm have the highest ceilings. And his floor is a little bit lower than you would think it is, but it's still high enough to not miss cuts. And that combination is just, he's awesome. And I thought it was really cool. This was a a very tiny detail, but I think sometimes, and we've had him on here, I think since he started winning a lot, he's gotten into this mode of being like pretty like polished. Like he kind of says the right stuff and says, I think sometimes what he thinks he should say, right?
Yes.
Instead of like what he actually feels. And he broke down at the end of this interview. He was being interviewed on the final green in Dubai, and he broke down a little bit about just like his relationship. His grandfather had died, and just his relationship with the people around him. And I thought that was awesome because it was like, yeah, be yourself, dude. Like, that's okay. It's okay to do that. You don't have to say like whatever what you think everybody else wants you to say. And I think it's so important to maintain that like self-awareness. Or that not self-awareness, but just like that being yourself, whatever word I'm trying to find there, going into the future, because you're going to have a lot of stuff projected on you that people are going to want you to be. And I thought that was a cool moment that gave me some encouragement for him moving forward.
And he's like the most likable guy in the world. So just be your genuine self. You're like the most likable person on the planet. Like it's all good, brother. Yeah. He will, according to Nosferatu, if you're into the OWGR points, he will earn more points this year than anybody. Rahm and Spieth finishing second and third. He cannot be caught the rest of the calendar year. Also, as we just talked about very briefly on, I think it was Tuesday's pod, the fact that he's the first American to win the race to Dubai, he is also likely to be the last because of, well, I guess in the future things could change, but two less WGC events. You have to have like a really good run in those and major championships to even get yourself in contention. Then you got to go win the final, basically. So this might be a feat that few others accomplish, KP, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's a list. I mean, we talked about it on Tuesday. Norman, Seve, Faldo, Woosnam, Goosen, Els, Rory, Stinson. I mean, it's a list of basically just Hall of Famers from the European Tour. And he went over and did it. And did it in a way that was, you know, it's kind of how Rahm won the US Open, where you're hanging around, and then you just kind of slam the door at the end.
Yeah.
Over guys, I know we're going to talk about Rory, but over guys like Rory and I can't remember Alex. I don't know who else was Fitzpatrick played really well on Sunday. And that seems to be a little bit of Morikawa's MO is just to hang around and then slam the door. And that's why I think like having, you know, we hear this talk about like 54 hole PGL events. It's like, man, 72 is such a great number, right? 72 is a great number because it's long enough to like only have kind of the best guys in contention, but it's short enough that it just seems to produce like really good winners. And I think there's a lot of stuff that golf gets wrong. 72 hole events is not one of them. I think that number is really, really good. And we've seen Morikawa take advantage of it over the last couple of years.
Well, if this was a 54-hole event, it would have been Rory McIlroy's, but it was not. 72 holes. Rory slept on the lead Saturday evening and shot a 74 in the final round, including a couple of tough putts coming down the stretch. He ends up finishing in a tie for sixth. And KP, the thing that was dominating Twitter moments before the Tiger video dropped was the photo of Rory McIlroy. And I laugh because I don't know another emotion. It looks like he went full Hulk and ripped his shirt. He's frustrated, maybe in the scorer's tent here, and he kind of took it out on the old Nike polo.
It reminded me of do you remember Patton Kizzire trying to rip his hat in half at the BMW?
Yeah. There's.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's Roy. Just he got slashed with a dagger in the chest or something. Just ripped his shirt down to his armpit. He looks pretty pissed right there.
Yeah, I would not approach Rory in this moment, I don't think.
He should be pissed, right? Like he played terribly on Sunday. You know, it's a course that, and he talked about this on Thursday. He's like, if you can cover 300 off the tee, it just makes it so much easier. And he just was he can't shoot 74 on Sunday, you know? And I think that, I don't know. I think sometimes we look at Rory and it's like, you know, the perspective and he talked about this at CJ Cup. He's like, my expectations are high, but maybe they're not high enough. And I think that's a little bit of what you're seeing right there of like just being pissed off about it. And I think that's great. I think that's good for him. You know,
I'm all for angry golfers being pissed off, taking your job seriously, wanting to accomplish. I'm all for that. A little bit of perspective. This would have been Rory's second victory in two starts, right? So like, it's not like he hasn't won in a while, right? Just comes off the win at the CJ Cup. But I do think it's interesting. Generally, the community was positive on angry Rory, which Rory has had his moments, ripping the shirt, throwing his club in the water, snapping it over his knee. I feel like some guys, maybe John Rahm, don't necessarily get the benefit of the doubt for being a passionate golfer.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I think it's an interesting question. Like if this was Bryson,
it would be he's such a baby. Look at this guy.
Or he's such a psycho.
He thinks he's whatever. Yeah, it would have been a completely different discord.
Yeah, and I think there's a reason that Rory gets the benefit of the doubt, but I also think that, you know, let's imagine this was Rom. I think that I would be saying the same thing. Like, listen, golf is psychotic. Like and especially at that level, like you're just, it's so frustrating to go out and, you know, have some of the stuff happen to you that these guys do. And as long as you're like, it's one thing to be like Sergio in the bunker in Saudi Arabia, where you're like,
yeah,
you know, like taking, like, carving up the course, like that's not great, you know, that's not good. But it's another thing if you're, I don't know, it's hard, like, because even I remember Rom, like, what did he do? He, like, punched a sign at the it wasn't Shinnecock. It was the U.S. Open at what was the other, was Aaron Hills.
Yeah,
he like punched a sign there and you're like, oh, that's not good. But then if you do it to yourself, like, is that, but I don't know, there's just a lot there. So I think Rory gets a probably too much benefit of the doubt, but I don't know that we give other people enough benefit of the doubt, especially somebody like a Rom or a JT when it comes to something like this. I think that's where I land on it.
Yeah, Rory completely deserves the benefit of the doubt. Others do as well. I draw the line at destroying the golf course. I think that's where I draw the line in some of, like, you know, Sergio's cases. But
where do you land on throwing clubs?
Personally, I don't do it because I feel as if I toss a club, the golf gods have won, right? Like, golf is hard enough. It is for me to show frustration. I will not give my competitors, my friends, the golf gods, any satisfaction in that. If a pro throws a club, as long as it doesn't hit anybody, I don't really care. I don't care at all.
Yeah. Like, Hovland breaking his putter at,
he slammed his bag, right? He broke the putter a couple months ago.
And Rory threw his club at Royal St. George's at the Open. I mean, it happens, you know, all the time. I think I could be talked into that being a little bit worse than something like this. This looks worse because it looks crazy.
Well, because he doesn't have another shirt to change into. Like,
yeah, it looks.
Like, he has to walk around like that.
It looks horrible. But I actually think, like, flinging a club is. I don't know. I'm not going to get worked up about either one, but I don't really think this is that bad relative to other stuff. I don't know.
No, I don't think so either. We will see. What did we decide? Is Rory going to? Yeah, Rory. We'll see Rory at the Hero World Challenge. Couple As of quick hits.
Producer Jacob noted here, nothing tops flipping off a lake.
But see, that's probably the least accepted one because you got to, like, blur it off of TV, right? Like, you can't even show that.
Yeah, and I don't think it's I'm fine with it.
Of course, because it's meaningless. It is socially the most unacceptable, in my opinion, but the least malicious or hurtful to anything or anyone.
Wait, is it is he talking about Tyrell Hatton?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No, he did. Yeah. He did. He took a shotgun to a lake.
Oh, yeah, he gave it one of these too.
Yeah.
He flipped it off also.
He did the PC version, you know, where you'd just do everything except extend the finger. But I think you have to give Hatton credit for just being the king of everything. The self-flagellation was like also up there as well. Just whipping
and he won. He won.
I know. That's the best part.
I wonder what we should bring him in for all like anything that happens like this and just have him like give it a grade, rank it, whatever he wants to do.
Yeah. I was about to say, we almost need a ranking from the year of best freakouts. Who destroyed the team marker at?
Oh, EVR.
EVR. Okay. That was bad. That was maybe the worst moment of the year.
Yeah. That's not good.
Egregious from just sort of a gentlemanly perspective.
It was egregious from like, there were guys standing back there who could have taken that shard in the throat.
It was ugly. I went back through a bunch of stuff recently, but that one was up there. The Kazire one was crazier than I remembered. Because he did the thing where he tried to throw his ball up and hit it, and he whiffed. Yeah, and then he tried to like
even more upset, right?
Yeah, and he tried to like rip his hat in half, which seems like it'd be extraordinarily difficult, like to rip your hat in half. Like Rory went with like the already pre-cut like. It's like pulling off tearaway pants. You know, you're like, oh, it's not that hard. You know, it's pretty easy to do. But ripping your hat in half seems hard.
Yeah.
We've got it. Wow. Look at this. Producer Jacob. This is from, okay, I'll do commentary on this. Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is from the BMW Championship back in August. And he misses a putt. And you can see, you can feel it boiling up right here. And then he whiffs it, and then now you just want to like break everything. So
right.
I think we get a putter snap coming up.
Snaps it over his leg, I believe.
He goes slow motion. Just oh, this feels so good right there. Yeah. Boom.
Good.
Yeah.
Could you do that? Do you think you could do? Is that as easy as it looks?
For sure. And now we get the hat, and he tries to rip it in half.
Oh God.
Yeah. And this was.
Did he try to separate the bill from the rest of it? Is that the tear point? Where do you go for that?
I think that's the spot. I think where the bill meets the like the back, like the side of the hat.
It's got to be the place to go. Yeah,
you got some leverage there, and I think he got it. Like I think he did rip it in half. Great work there, producer Jacob.
When he missed the putter, when he throws the ball up in the air and whiffs it with the putter, and then just leaves the ball behind and doesn't even like go, it's like he's at 100 in that moment.
For sure. He's just steaming.
Very good meltdown. Quick odds and ends. We're going to talk about Taylor Gooch because he deserves it, but quick odds and ends. Jin Young Ko, unbelievable. Unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable. Wins the LPGA, top honors. How about this stat? 63 greens in a row she hit this week. I've not hit 63 greens this year.
I have not either.
She hit 63 in a row. That is one of the most absurd things I've ever heard.
I played on Friday. I think I hit 2 greens.
Well, 61 more to go.
It was 2 out of 18 though. Yeah, it's super. Wait, it wasn't 63 in a row. We've got some.
Oh, I thought it was 63 in a row. Sorry, I misread that. But why do I think it was 63 greens?
Regardless, if you're in 63 greens in a 72 hole event,
no. Here, Brentley Romine of golf. First of all, they go by golf now. Did you know that? It's not the Golf Channel anymore.
No, what?
Golf.
No.
Okay.
That can't be real. Really?
I'm like positive. It's just golf. Hey, watch that on golf. Not the Golf Channel.
I don't know if I like that.
I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. My brain.
I'm not asking you to defend it. I'm just saying I don't really love it.
Believe it or not, I was not in the decision-making process of that. Yeah, so Brentley Romine tweets us out. Jin Young Ko capped her week by hitting her final 63 greens in regulation. 63 in a row.
That's pretty good. And she beat who, Nelly?
Yeah, Nelly tried to keep up, man. But she there was a stretch where Jin Young hit like she made like 8 birdies in a row or something. She was absolutely scorching. Now the second time in 3 years she's been the player of the year.
Yeah, so she won. What did she win this year? She won a lot of things this year. She won, and they all happened after July like basically the second half of the year. She won the Volunteer of America Classic. That's the one over by me in I think that's in the Colony. Yeah, Colony, Texas. I played that course. It's an awesome course. She wins the Portland Classic in September. She wins the Cognizant Founders Cup in October, BMW Ladies Championship in October, and now this the Tour Championship.
And five of her last 9 events she won.
It's crazy that she hit the last 63 greens in a row and won by one.
Yeah.
The degree to which, you know, the ladies on the LPGA just carve up these courses, it's you know, because they're doing it differently than sometimes happens on the men's side, although they have the, you know, they often overpower courses as well, but they just the consistency they have that like I'm almost not shocked that Jin Young Ko would hit 63 greens in a row. It's a shocking thing, but it's also like, if you watch the consistency with which they, a lot of them play from tee to green, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's staggering. And that's why I think it's so fun to marry that to go into, I think of a, what was the US Open course a couple of years ago, Charleston.
Yeah,
producer Jacob will know. That's his
that's his area of the country, the southeast region,
Country Club of Charleston.
Country Club of Charleston. So when you marry this classic, amazing course with their ability at the highest level just to hit, just to be super consistent like that from tee to green, I think it's fascinating to watch. I think it's really, really fun to watch on the LPGA.
$1.5 million headed to the bank account there, and that will probably be more next year because lots of purse increases for the 2022 season with nearly $87 million in purses. Across.
Good for them. That's awesome. Like, yep. I think that they have a ton of interesting, great personalities at the top there, and, you know, I think even this year I've just become more – it's fun to follow. It really is. And there's great tournaments, good personalities. And I think it's cool to see women's golf thriving. It really is. And I'm hopeful that continues.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Jin Young Ko. Congratulations, Taylor Gooch, who won the RSM Classic, and he did a KP pretty dominating fashion. A Sunday 64, that's 6 under. Never really seemed like he was at risk to make a bogey. Did not make one on Sunday. His last bogey was the 10th hole on Saturday. I mean, this was an exclamation point on what I would say was the best fall that anybody had.
Yeah, you and I were talking about that. Is Taylor Gooch the fall PGA Tour Player of the Year? And I think I think I mean, who are your other candidates even?
Well, I mean, if you say, okay, so you got to go with guys who won, obviously, now that Gooch has won. So Hideki wins the Zozo, yeah, but he only played 4 times. His other best finish was a 6th at the Fortinet, and he had a 59th at CJ Cup and Shriners. Shriners was like a 67th. Rory, let's see what Rory did.
He only
he played once.
I think that's part of the problem is guys that – it's hard to judge four rounds against somebody like Gooch, who played in, I think, 6 tournaments.
So he's got the win, 60th at Houston, which his first round, he was the first round leader, then got into the weird schedule. I'd give him a pass for those 3 rounds. Mayakoba T11, T5 at Summit Club, T11 at Shriners, T4 at Fortinet. So you're telling me in the 6 events that he played, 5 of them were T11 or better, anyone.
Guess which one I picked him for our one and done for?
Houston.
That's nonsense.
That's tough.
Just complete nonsense. Yeah. And, you know, this is a little bit what the fall is for. Not for, but it's a great benefit of the fall is when you have a guy that's in his 20s that hadn't really broken through yet, that you know, gets to kind of have a year, not a year, but like have a you know, mini year in the fall. And now you know, he's going to be in the Masters, he's going to be in the majors. Like he set himself up for what could be a 2022 in which, you know, he could rise to be a, what's he ranked right now? Like 40 something.
He will be, I just looked this up, our resident Nosferatu with the Sunday update on OWGR. He will be 33rd on Monday morning.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. I thought he was around 50. And so, yeah, okay. That makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, somebody could be in the top 25 in the world right now. And it's, he's got a foundation, I think, to build on now going into 2022, which is, you know, for somebody like him, it's who's he's a really good player. He's not a Morikawa, right? He's not a Spieth, he's not a JT or something like that. But you can now start to like contend with those guys at some of these bigger events. And I think that's what the fall is for. It's not for, you know, the Hidekis and Rorys of the world necessarily to win, but rather to see guys like Gooch establish himself, and then all of a sudden you get thrown in the mix going into the start of next year.
Start of the year 81st in OWGR, started the fall 66th, will be 33rd. We've talked about this before because we talk about Gooch a lot on this show. He is, to me, this is always a very good sign. When you hear your peers rumbling about how good you are, we heard it a lot with Sungjae when he was coming up on tour from the Corn Ferry. I've heard it a lot with Gooch.
Scheffler.
Guys just being like, yeah, Scheffler. Just like, wow, he strikes it well. Like when you get your peers saying this, it is usually a very, very good sign. And now Gooch making good on a lot of those comments.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, somebody else that we heard it or we have heard it a ton about is Zalatoris.
Yeah.
Right. I'm curious. Would you take Zalatoris or Gooch for 2022? Let's say most money earned for 2022.
I hate this.
They're both in the Masters.
Yep. 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 Yep.
They're probably both in everything, honestly.
Yeah, it is so easy to say Gooch in this spot because his last six events have been phenomenal and he won. But I think, you know, we're going to get a reset in January. These guys are going to, you know, go back to kind of their longer term stuff. I think you still have to go Zalatoris, but I really like Gooch. I love Gooch. He's a great ball striker, putted well this week. The putter is the thing that lets him down. Same thing with Zalatoris, but I think I'd still have to go Zalatoris.
Yeah, I think I probably would too. I'm looking at Gooch's numbers right now. You know,
what's he done in majors? Because
I don't know that he's played in very.
Zalatoris does a couple of good finishes in majors, right?
He does. Does he have anything?
Gooch. 2017, he played the U.S. Open. Might have been an amateur. When did he turn? 66th. He finished 66th at the U.S. Open.
He's 30, so
probably not. Missed the cut at the PGA Championship in 2020, T44 in 2021, T33 at the Open Championship this year. So he has played four majors. Best finish, yeah. T33.
You know, I think the thing about him that's, and this is true of, you know, we talk about Sam Burns, we talk about Max Homa. If you look at his strokes gain numbers, so going back all the way to 2017, he's a minus 0.3. Then he's the next year, he's a minus 0.2. And then he's a plus 0.4. And then he's a plus 0.5. And then last season, he's a plus 0.8. And right now, he's a plus 1.6. That probably won't be maintained, a plus 1.6, yeah. But that's improvement for 5 straight seasons.
Yeah.
That's meaningful. Like, that's a trajectory. That's a real thing. And I always think it's impressive because I think it's emblematic of a ton of work, right? You don't just fall into improving your strokes gain number by a full stroke over 5 years per round. You don't that doesn't just happen. Not at the PGA Tour level. It might happen for me and you because we don't play enough, but not at this level. And so I think that's cool because it signifies that somebody is learning and putting in effort and putting in work, and you know, now getting a tour win is kind of reaping some of the benefits of that.
To put a bow on the Zalatoris major discussion, he has finished six majors. Remember, he WD'd from the Open Championship with that back stinger that he had from a shot from the rough. Six major championships he's finished, three top eights. A runner-up at the Masters, a T8 at the PGA Championship, a T6 at the U.S. Open.
The wing foot, I forgot about that one. Was the PGA, was that Harding or Kiowa?
Kiowa.
Oh, man, I do remember that because he holed out at one point. And remember he raised his hands over his head and he had the whoop on his bicep and it looked like it was his wrist. It's like, oh, Zalatoris is wearing a whoop on his wrist. It's really around like the top of his arm.
That's pretty good. I can't the whoop around the arm thing. I can't endorse that. Not a fan.
Oh, I'm in on it.
What? Do you wear one around your arm?
I do.
You do?
I do. Yeah.
What's the benefit of it?
Well, the benefit is that it doesn't look like you're. I got a comment from somebody at church one time. I was speaking. And they're like, why are you wearing two watches? Yeah.
I know. I get that all the time.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I can't have that. This is silly, you know? And so I had to go around the arm. We are giving Whoop some free ad time here. Sorry, producer Jacob.
They can send us some product. We'll wear it. All right. Anything else on Taylor Gooch or the RSM Classic?
Webb was number one from tee to green and in approach play for the week, which I think is, I think you and I are bullish on him going into 2022.
Very, very yeah. bullish.
And he just, the finishes haven't been there. This is his second top 10 since RBC. So what is that? 8 months, 7 months. But, he's hitting the ball well, and I'm excited for his 2022. I feel like I've said that about 30 guys, and it's true. And I'm pumped about 2022. Golf in 22 is going to be awesome, just as it was in 2021. I'm really excited about it.
The game is strong. The game is deep. Our stars are back at the top. It is going to be an absolute blast. We've got to do our odds and ends. We've got to update our best bets, give some recaps for our one and done selections. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
And we're back. After a tough week with our best bets, KP, we are back in the green. Yes, the only wager that we lost was Greg's. Kevin Kisner to finish inside the top 20. Kevin Kisner nearly finished dead last. That could arguably be one of the more surprising results, good or bad, one of the more surprising results of the week.
He was plus five. That is, yeah, that's shocking. He was down with our boy Martin Trainer, JT Poston, Keegan. Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying there. We did talk about Rory Sabatini getting DQ'd for having a sticker on his driver.
Yeah. So for those who don't know,
normal sport.
Yeah. So I tweeted it out. They make those stickers very, obviously by design, very discreet that you put on for like launch monitors or whatever, so that you can get your club data and it's easier to read. Sometimes you put the stickers on the balls as well. But apparently Sabatini, played with one. Now was this, so then he calls it on himself. Like, whose fault is that? Is that the caddy's fault? Is that the player's fault? It's kind of weird.
it's just like, I don't know. Is that what we need to be focused on? We've got all this, like, we can't go to Wingfoot in 3 years because players are too long. And it's like, well, you got a sticker on the back of your club. You're disqualified.
It's not like it's just it was like, one of those face things that go over the entire face that tells you how your impact was.
Yeah, it's just like we just lose the forest for the trees in this ridiculous sport. I mean, we really do. And I love it because it creates content for us to talk about how ridiculous it is that Rory Sabatini had a sticker on his driver and he can't play in the rest of the tournament. And when you pull it out of like the context that it was in, it's really ridiculous. Like, it's really preposterous. But yeah, bummer for him. I'm shocked at that. I don't think I realized that Kisner had been that bad over the first couple. I mean, the first day was like the easiest scoring day in PGA Tour history.
Yeah,
So that's not a good outcome for him.
Louis Oosthuizen also down at the bottom of the board because he withdrew after his opening round, or I guess it was more accurately probably before his second round, because I think it was Friday morning, which was beneficial to me because I had Russell Henley at even money over Louis Oosthuizen. So that's a cash for me. Coach didn't give the Gooch enough credit. Gooch over Adam Scott -125, but that was just a matchup. Should have took the 34-1 or 38-1 for Gooch to win, but that puts Coach in the win column as well. And KP, you were you went a little longer, 200-1 in a three ball. Adam Scott does indeed beat Kevin Kisner, who we talked about, and Alex Noren to win this best bet for you. And quite frankly, because those two missed the cut, you did not even have a sweat, my friend. Congratulations.
Yeah, I wish it was 200-1. It was actually just 2-1, I think.
Did I say 200-1?
Yeah, that would have been sweet. I would have loved that. Sick.
If you can get any three ball at 200-1, you take it. I don't care who
for sure. It could be Rick and I playing a best ball in the Arnold Palmer in March. You should take
that. We'll beat somebody one out of 200 times. Come on.
Totally. What Greg mentioned on Tuesday almost happened though, where we all had like guys in each of the bets, and that we almost all cashed out, even though they were kind of going against each other. By the way, I think Louis is like has very much for me become like kind of Brooks Light, right? He kills the man. Then in these other events, it's like, well, Louis's hurt. He doesn't care as much about the non-major. Like it's just like the pattern of what they do, both at the majors and the non-majors, seems to match up quite a bit.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. Okay. I was like, trying to think of the similarities between Louis Oosthuizen and Brooks Koepka, makes sense.
There are none. But like, but Louis thrives at the majors. Obviously, Brooks thrives at the majors. Louis, I don't know. You watch him in other tournaments. You're like, I guess it's, he's fine. But he doesn't really make a ton of noise. And then he'll be injured every once in a while and be out for a while. But then he'll show up at the majors and you're like, well, Louis's probably going to top 10 this week, just like Brooks. So I don't know. There's a lot of similarity there.
Interesting. Keep an eye on that moving forward. So 3-1 in our best bets, which leaves us with one final thing to do, give the one and done update. And frankly, there's not all that much update to give. We didn't do all that well. KP, you, believe it or not, win the week. Well, you tie at the top for the week. You had Russell Henley. He got you 72,000. He moves your total up to 616,000 for the year, but quite frankly, that 72,000 was better than what everybody else did.
Yeah, I wish I could flip-flop these, though. Put Henley back in the Houston slot and take Gooch for RSM. I did those backward. But yeah, that's fine. Not a great outcome, but I don't know. I made up ground on most of you.
Yeah. Sia and Jacob had Corey Connor. So Sia moves to 694,000. Jacob moves to 3 million. Jacob's still in second. Coach and Greg both had Kevin Kisner. They're going to get $0. And Mark and I both had Scotty Scheffler. We're getting 16,416. So I don't even think any of the order of the standings actually changed here. And I used Scotty Scheffler and got only 16K, which is not ideal, my friend.
No, it's not ideal for somebody like Scheffler, who's the top 20 guy right now. I feel less bad about Henley getting 72 than you should feel about Scheffler getting 60.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, we're not going to do this again for 6 weeks. I mean, the one and done. We'll do this again tomorrow, but.
We're not going to do a Hero World Challenge?
Oh, maybe we are. I mean, I'm sure Jacob will probably do the shark shootout on us. I mean, who knows?
QBE. Yeah, I mean, we'd have to like burn a star unless, you know, there's a lot of stars in the Hero. I don't know what the prize purse is.
I'll take Stenson. That would be a good one to use.
I was going
to
say, I think everyone would just take Henrik Stenson and there would be no net gain or
guaranteed
loss.
Guaranteed money.
Yeah. The only effect is everyone just loses Henrik Stenson.
Yeah. Unless you want to save him for the Arnold Palmer. He always plays great at Bay Hill.
He does. Yeah, so we're going to do this again tomorrow, which is Monday, and we're going to be doing mailbag. And then also, KP, we've got Bryson v. Brooks, 12-round heavyweight bout, Las Vegas. That is the day after American Thanksgiving. That's on Friday.
American Thanksgiving. It is on Friday. Brooks versus Brooksy. I cannot wait. It's going to be fun.
Did you see the Strixon tease video?
Yeah, that's not Patrick Reed. People were talking about that's Patrick Reed. That's Brooks.
It's almost certainly Brooks. The only thing that was Patrick Reed-esque is he wears that, the very first thing where he's putting the ball on the ground.
Yeah.
Patrick Reed wears one of those, like, I almost called it puka bead. Shell. It's not a puka shell.
Like a,
yeah,
it's beaded. Like a bead bracelet. It looks like something my daughter would make.
Correct. Yes. Well, Brooks also wears one of them. Also, I could see the biceps on said golfer, and that was not Patrick Reed. Also, Nike shoe, the way it flies out, when he swings, it appears that Strixon is going to announce Brooks as a what do they call that? Ambassador.
Brand ambassador. Do you ever play the game where they haven't showed the player's name and you just try to guess who they were by their swing or their putt or whatever?
Yes. Every time. It's amazing.
You did that at the US Open. We were on camera or I was on camera with you and somebody was they weren't even swinging. They were standing behind me. And the way they were standing, you're like, I think that's Henrik Stenson. And it was.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was crazy.
Someone on the range. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best game.
That was impressive.
There's a couple that are really hard. Carlos Ortiz and Jordan Spieth, like from a distance, are very hard.
Extremely difficult.
Yeah.
So difficult.
Because they both wear like the bright UA stuff.
So the guys that I think look alike that are hard, Tyler McCumber and Chris Kirk. When they both have
that big shaggy beard. Yeah. When they're both like very bearded.
Yeah. When Kirk doesn't, then they don't look alike, but when they have beard, I don't know. We can move on.
There's nothing to move on to. Anything else before we get out of here before the RSM Tiger European Tour? All right, we'll be back at you next week. Make sure to get your mailbag questions in either a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, please, and or a tweet when Jacob tweets it out at First Cut Pod. He'll tweet out the prompt. You can respond. We'll go through as many of those as possible. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob. Does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, Kyle Porter. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can follow me at Rick Run Good. This has been the First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.